Morning, LifePoint Church. How's everybody doing? Good. Sorry, I get my little OCD self together here. All right. Well, my name is Andy Driscoll, and I'm the lead pastor here. I just want to say thank you all so much for being here with us this morning at LifePoint Church, to choosing this as your place of worship. Like I say, so many times there's just thousands of churches in the Louisville area, and just, I mean, even in within a five-mile radius, there's a church on every corner, so we're just so thankful that you chose LifePoint Church to be your home and your place of worship this morning. A few things that I want to start off with before we get going with our message today. I want to give, I think many of you know, but I want to give you a brief update on Iliad. Mike and Tessa's son, Mike, who's our worship leader. As we talked about last week, he was diagnosed with a brain tumor a week and a half ago, Sunday. They did a surgery to biopsy it, and man, God was faithful in that moment, and not only did they biopsy it, but they were able to actually remove the entire tumor off his brainstem, which was, yeah, was incredible. Was not what they thought was going to be able to happen, but it was just amazing, and everything went the best that it could go, given the circumstances. So there was great excitement after that, and just praising God for that. And then a couple days later, they got the biopsy results, and it wasn't good. He does have a very very rare tumor what it was, and so they have a long road ahead. You know, luckily and thankfully, it hadn't spread anywhere else. So that was a great thing. But Mike and Tess have a long road with Iliad ahead. And we know that God's got this, and we know that he's in control of these things. And even when we don't understand, we trust that he's faithful and that he's good and that he's going to work it out. And so we as a church body need to continue to love and support them. And we need to be there for them and obviously continue to pray for them. So if there's anything that you can do that you would like to do to support them, you can let us know. We do have a meal chain. I don't know what you call it. Jen's got it all set up. But basically, you can go online and you can sign up to take them a meal. If you can't get that out to them, to the hospital, you can let us know. I'll meet you here at the church and pick it up and take it down there to them. They're probably going to be at Cozair for another week to 2 weeks. They may get to go home. They may not. They don't know yet. But they will be going to Memphis after that in a couple weeks, to St. Jude's Hospital in Memphis, where they specialize in this form of the tumor that he had and the cancer that he has. And so they're going to be there for a while. They're going to be there for anywhere from 6 to 7 months while he receives this treatment. So we are his family. You know, we are their church family, and we have to love and support them. So so just be in prayer. If you can help in any way, seriously, I know they'd appreciate it. And they also wanted to thank everyone for the prayers and the well wishes and everything. That everyone has been incredible. So keep up the prayers, keep that going, and we're going to sit back and watch God do some incredible things. And watch him do what he does. So, yeah. So I got that. That's there. So just be praying for him. It's just a tough situation. It's a heavy situation. But again, we know God is faithful, and he's good. So, but today we are going to jump back into our series. Last week just was not the right time to continue to talk about temptation, and to kind of divert from that a little bit. But 2 weeks ago, we started a message series called Temptation. So we're going to jump back into that this week. And what we're doing in this series is that we're really just working through Scripture and looking at what it is that we can do to overcome the temptations that we face. Because the reality is every single one of us are tempted. And we're going to be tempted again. And you're going to have to deal with that and face that throughout your life. So we want to look at what we can do to gain victory over those temptations, and how we can seek God and him providing that way out that we see that he will always give. And in week one, again, it's a couple weeks ago, if you weren't here or if you're like me and you don't even really remember what happened yesterday, you don't really remember everything we talked about. 2 weeks ago, we defined temptation as anything that promises satisfaction at the cost of obedience to God. Just a very simple definition of temptation. Anything that promises satisfaction, that it's going to be good, that it's going to feel good, that, you know, it's going to maybe make your life a little bit better just for the moment, or give you some type of release or stress relief just for the moment, or whatever it may be. But it promises that satisfaction, but it's at the cost of obedience to God. It's at the cost of your relationship with God, and many times your relationships with other people, the important people in your life. We also talked about how, just a few things about temptation, and how it's not a sin to be tempted. Sometimes the enemy likes to use that against us, that if, as we're tempted, we feel guilty for just being tempted, but it's not a sin to be tempted. We talked about how none of us are above or immune to being tempted. Again, I don't care how spiritual you are, or how long you've been in church, or, you know, how spiritual you think you are, you're going to be tempted. And the moment that we think we're above temptation is when we're the most vulnerable, right? We talked about how God will never tempt us. That's not him. It's not what he does. He's never going to tempt us. And most importantly, the piece that gives us hope, right? The greatest piece is that regardless of what our temptation is, no matter how big or how small it is, how out in the open it may be, or how internalized it is, God will always provide us that way out. There's always a way out of it. And so today, what we're going to look at is we're going to check out some scripture, and we're going to really look at more some of the things that we can do, the practical things we can do to help us overcome the temptation in our life, and how we can basically fight it off, right? And how we can eliminate and eradicate it from our lives. So the first thing that I want each of you to do is I really want you to start to think through this, and if you're comfortable with it, I want you to write it down somewhere, type it in your phone, or maybe you can write it down later if you're not comfortable or you don't trust the person that's sitting beside you, or whatever it may be. But what I want you to do is I want you to think through and identify your greatest temptation. Like for you, we're all different. We're all wired differently. Therefore, we're all kind of attacked in different ways and from different angles, right? So for you, what is your greatest temptation? What is that thing that you're constantly faced with? What is that thing that you're the most vulnerable to giving into? What is your greatest temptation? Again, maybe for you, it's something as simple as overspending, right? You can't go to Target for, you know, toilet paper because you end up spending $100 on random stuff. Not naming any names or anything. I'm not looking at anybody in particular or anything. But maybe for you, it's overspending. You're just tempted to constantly overspend and spend money that you honestly don't have, right? You're already in debt, but you're spending money and you're spending money. Or maybe it's overeating, right? It's just, you just have this addiction. You can't stop yourself. And you're always tempted to get more. Maybe it's you're tempted to gossip, right? When you hear someone talking about somebody else, well, you just tractor beam, like, have to go right over to it. You're just tempted always to gossip or to badmouth someone or just be overcritical in general. Like, you're just critiquing, like, in a negative way, anything and everything, you know? Maybe it's lying. That you're just natural, just tempted to lie your way out of any situation. Even if it's really not even a bad situation, you just like, you know, you're going to tell a big story about something that's really not true. Just because. You're just tempted to do that. Maybe for you, it's you're tempted to some substance, right? In 2018, there's a lot of people that are addicted to substances, right? Whether it be, you know, pills or some other drug, or whether it be sugar. I mean, I've been thinking about that a lot recently. What a destructive thing sugar can be. And man, many of us are just hyper addicted to sugar. I'll get off that. I'm not going to go anywhere on that. But sugar, or maybe it's, you know, excessive alcohol, whatever it may be, but you're finding yourself constantly tempted by this thing. Or maybe it's pornography, or taking in some other unhealthy or lust-provoking images. I mean, in a room this size, man or woman, doesn't matter. The odds are very, very good that there are several people sitting in here that are tempted with pornography. But the church, we just don't want to talk about it, right? We just want to ignore it. But these are temptations that we face. It's reality. And we have to be able to understand and identify what our greatest temptations are if we're ever going to claim victory over them. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's the fact that you don't think that you're tempted. Or you don't think that even when you are tempted, you got this, no big deal. Maybe you're just tempted to think that you're the best in any and every situation. I don't know what it may be for you, but I want you to really think about that. Identify that greatest temptation in your life. And as we work through the scripture today, and as we work through some this message, this teaching, I really want you to think of it through the lens of that greatest temptation. Because again, this is personal for you. It's personal for me. And we have to look at this and hear God's voice through the lens of that greatest temptation. So let's go ahead and jump into our main passage of scripture for this series. If you remember, a couple weeks ago, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 13, where Paul says this. He says, so if you think you are standing firm, so again, for those of you that think that you're good, the temptation, you know, doesn't matter, it's not affected you. If you think you're standing firm, it says, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. So basically what he's saying here is that to be tempted is to be human, right? We're all tempted. Doesn't matter who you are, we're all subject to temptation. And again, the moment that you think that you're not is when you're the most vulnerable because you're not paying attention. You think you're above it. So Paul is telling us, he says, to be careful so you don't fall. But then here's the good news in verse 13. It's the greatest news for us when it comes to temptation. It says, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, not if, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. And he's going to give you a way out. Every single time, because he's faithful. He's good. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. If you have that connected relationship with him, he's in your corner and he has your back 24/7. 365, he's never going to leave you or forsake you. And he'll always provide a way out. But the question is, are you looking for it? Are you paying attention? Are you living eyes wide open, wide awake? Are you aware of what that greatest temptation is in your life? Or have you just become apathetic towards that temptation? Become apathetic towards sin in your life because you failed so many times, you've just kind of thrown in the towel and just like, I'm done. The greatest temptation that you have, we need to understand that doesn't matter how big it is, that God is in your corner. He has your back, and he's always going to give you a way out. But we have to be looking. So for the rest of our time this morning, I want to talk to you about what we need to do, what we can do to help us to resist temptation, right? How we can overcome the temptation that will come in our lives. And the first thing that I think we need to know as we begin to work through this is we need to understand the actual process of temptation itself. Like how that actually works in our life. Like what steps are at play whenever we're tempted. And there's all kinds of different, you know, three steps here, five steps here, whatever it might be. You can, you know, Google it and you're going to find them. This isn't something that Andy created. It's really interesting because at my work, we talk about the crisis cycle, which is a stimulus, thought, feeling, action, then a consequence. And that's how we teach our staff to work with some of our kids. It's really interesting to me that the temptation cycle is very similar. It's very similar. So this is the one that I've heard that I think makes the most sense to me. And here's the four steps that we walk through that leads us towards temptation and eventually sin if we follow this path. And the first thing is that there's a thought, right? All starts in our mind. It all starts with a thought. Then comes some form of justification, right? We know it's probably not wrong, or that it's wrong, that it's not right for us to do this or to think this or go down this, but some way, somehow, we're going to justify it in our minds, right? So there's a thought, then there's justification, then we make a choice. And depending on that choice, then there's sin. And that's typically the way this temptation process works. It's thought, justification, choice, and then depending on that choice that you make, sin. Again, so from week one, if you remember, I gave the example of, somebody that was, maybe addicted to overeating or whatever it may be, and so they, kind of swore off desserts that they felt like that was in their light, their best interest, and they were not going to eat desserts anymore, and that they're at the restaurant, the hot lava cake, you remember that? How many of y'all got hot lava cake that week? Yeah, a few of y'all did. You're welcome. It was probably delicious too. But take that example. Again, eating, some dessert, depending on your situation, is not a sin. I'm not saying that. I'm not banging on dessert. But think about it this way. So in that scenario, you have a thought, right? Man, I really want some hot lava cake. Looks good. It's delicious. I can almost taste it. Like even right now, you're talking about it, I can almost taste it. It's warm, get the ice cream. It's amazing, right? So you've got that thought. And then you start to justify, I haven't had dessert in a long time, and I've been really good, right? I've really been good, so yeah, I think I need to treat myself. Then you make a choice. Yeah, let me check out the menu. Just going to look a little bit. And next thing you know, you got chocolate lava cake everywhere. You've tore it up. You've destroyed it, right? But it was a thought, then justification, then choice, and then sin, right? Or maybe for you, it's overspending. Not to meddle or anything, but maybe for you, buying another purse would be a sin. You've already got like 20 plus in your closet, five of which you've never even like broke out and used, or carried, however you phrase that. So for you, you say, I'm not gonna buy any more purses. But then one day you're kind of feeling kind of down, maybe feeling alone, kind of getting that little itch, and you're thinking about it, and you think about, maybe I'll get a new purse. Then you start to justify it. I haven't bought one in a long time. I mean, it's been a couple months. And because of that, I made an extra student loan payment last month, so I need to treat myself. I deserve it, right? So then you start to make a choice. You go online, you check out Coach's website, and I'm just going to browse a little bit. And then there's like a sale, it's 50% off when you buy two with free shipping. And then so you make the choice and you buy, right? You got the thought, the justification, the choice, the sin, you get it, right? Or maybe it's actually more serious than those two examples, right? Again, maybe for you it's your temptation and your sin is more of that, you're looking at, just explicit images that you shouldn't be looking at, and you know it, but you're tempted by it, right? You know that, you know it's destructive, but man, you're sitting at home and you're by yourself, kind of bored, so you start to think about it. Well, maybe I'll just jump on Instagram real quick and just browse and scroll through some things real quick. And while you're doing that, you think about, I remember that one hashtag that had some images on it, or that profile, that page that I can go to. And you start to think about it. And you start to justify it. Everybody looks at that kind of stuff. Not just me. And one little look's not going to hurt anything. Plus, my spouses, they're pretty cool about that. I don't think they would mind. Just one look. So then you make the choice. Okay, let me just click on this and just look at the one picture. And then an hour later, hundreds of pictures and videos later, you're deep into it. Thought, justification, choice, and then sin. This is how that process works. But it all starts with a thought. Typically, that's where it all starts. So we have to realize how critical those first moments of temptation are. The very first moments of temptation are incredibly critical. So we need to be prepared. Right, we have to be proactive before that thought hits. I remember when I was in high school, I had a youth pastor that taught this all the time. Make the decision of how you're going to handle it, what you're going to do and what you're not going to do before you're in the situation. Man, that stuck with me like forever. That's brilliant. Great advice. And that's what we're talking about here. You've got to be prepared. Before that thought hits, you need to know what you're going to do and what you're not going to do when the temptation comes. You've got to be proactive ahead of time. You got to know. Be up on your game. Know the escape route, right? Know the way out. I mean, God gives us that way out. Many times we know it. So identify it. Just like you would with a fire drill. You're going to know your escape, all your exits, right? Same thing with temptation. Got to know your way out. And to aid us kind of in this proactive approach, James, in James chapter 4, verse 7, gives us like this real simple two-step process in being prepared and how we're going to overcome temptation. Very simple. James chapter 4, verse 7 says this, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." It's not super deep. You don't have to have, a doctoral degree to understand this. An MDiv, you don't have to have that. It's pretty simple. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So to be proactive, to be prepared to fight against the temptations that come, the first thing we see is that we're going to submit to God, right? Submit then to God, first and foremost, before anything else. But one of the things that I think is interesting is that the majority of the time what I hear people talk about is the resisting the devil piece, right? They want to talk about that. You just resist the devil and he'll flee. You resist the devil and he'll flee. But see, the reality is if we've not first submitted to God, if we don't first have that relationship with him, if we're not connected and walking with him, we have no chance of resisting the devil. We don't. On our own, we're going to fall. Flat on our face. Face first, full of hot lava cake. I mean, that's the way it's going to be. Because we can't do it alone. We can't take this on by ourselves. We have to first submit to God. You see, because we weren't designed to do this alone. Many times we like to think we can. We like to think that, we're independent, we can do everything on our own, we don't need anybody else, but that's not how we're created. We were created as relational beings. We need other people in our life to help us through these things. And most importantly, we need God in our life to walk point for us, to be with us, to hold us up, to give us the strength so that we can resist the devil. We have to be connected with him. Before we do anything else, we have to submit to God. We need to receive his help, his grace, his love, his way out. He gives it. We have to be paying attention, and we have to submit to him so that we can do that. And maybe you're thinking to yourself right now, well, that's great church talk. That's great Christianese, submit to God. But what does that even mean? What does that really look like for me? Like, maybe that's what you're thinking. If that's the case, I mean, it just depends on where you're at currently in your walk with God. It depends on where you're at to what level your next step is to submitting to God. Maybe for you, submitting to God means that you finally step over that line of faith and that you give your life to Christ. You've been holding back, never really ready to commit, holding on to something, holding on to this thing. But maybe that's submitting to God is the ultimate submission, is giving your life to him. It's confessing and believing. It's trusting in him as your Savior. Maybe that's where you're at. That's submitting to God for you. Or for you, maybe you've already stepped over that line of faith, and submitting to God is coming back to him. It's acknowledging, hey, you know what? I've been out here doing my own thing. you know, living life the way I wanted to, and I need to own that, that that's not right. And I need to come back to God and to his purpose for my life and his plans and seek him and submit to him. Maybe that's what your next step is. Or maybe for you it's a little more of a deeper commitment. Maybe you're walking with God, but man, things become distractions. You know, there's lots of distractions in our world today. Busyness, work, you know, whatever it may be, there's just always something fighting for your attention. And so maybe submitting to God for you is getting up every morning and praying and seeking God and saying, you know, God, I submit to you. I submit my words to you, my actions, my eyes, my ears. I submit my soul, my whole heart, every fiber of my being, I submit it to you to be used by you today. And maybe you do that every single day in your way to submit to him. Submitting that his ways are greater than yours. That his plan for your life is better than the one that you can create on your own. And you release that to him and you just submit to him. And you seek him in prayer and reading scripture and being with other people. Iron sharpening iron, and you do life together. You submit to him. Trust me, in order to have victory over your temptation, you have to first submit to God. You have to. It's a must. If you want victory, you have to submit to him because you cannot do it on your own. And that doesn't make you a bad person. That doesn't make you anything other than human. And as humans, we're flawed, and we were not created to do things alone, but we were created to depend and rely on God and be in community with other people. The second thing that we see from this point should be obvious, and it's to resist the devil, right? Resist the enemy. We're going to submit to God, and then we're going to resist the devil. That's what we're going to do. Again, first we have to submit to him. And then once we do that with his help, with him running point, we can resist the devil. We can resist those temptations that come our way with God. We can do that. But how many of you have ever said, man, I just couldn't resist. I just couldn't help myself, right? I'll be honest. How many of y'all have ever said that or thought that had been the situation? Right. But you can. There's always a way out. But we have to submit to him first. We have to understand that on our own, we can't. That is a true statement. On our own, we can't. But with God, that we can. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We have to submit and resist. And when we do that, our confidence isn't in ourselves, but it's in God. It's in the fact that that Christ in us is greater than whatever toxic desire that's also in us. Christ is greater than that. We'll overcome that. We'll snuff that out if we've submitted to him. You see, it says if we submit to him, we can go into battle and we can resist him. And he's going to flee. The enemy will flee, man. He's going to take off. He's out of there because he knows that when he sees God with us, that he's in for just domination, immediate destruction. He knows that's coming down the line. It's probably exactly how the Yankees feel right now, knowing they're going to play the Red Sox again tonight. Like utter domination is going to happen. They know that. But see, Satan is the same way. When he sees God with us, he's gone. He flees. He knows that he's going to lose because God in us is greater than anything else. So then when temptation comes our way, man, we're going to be prepared because we've been proactive. We've sought after him. We've submitted to him. And then we're ready to take on that battle, resist him, and claim victory. But I also want to note and point out, and I always try to make sure that we connect the fact that we have a part to play in this as well. We have an active role in this, not only just submitting to God, but the other thing that we need to make sure that we understand is that one of the best ways to resist temptation in our lives is to eliminate it first, whenever we can. Right? There's some things that we can do to eliminate the future temptation that comes our way. Some very simple things, but sometimes they're just not convenient. Sometimes it makes us seem weird or odd or whatever it may be. But there's things that we can do to eliminate a temptation before it even hits. King Solomon, probably one of the wisest dudes to ever live, gave this advice to his son in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. He said, "Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers." And in verse 15, he said, "Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go your way." He said, man, don't even step foot on that road, down that path. Just avoid it. Don't travel on it. See, this road is going to lead you to temptation. It's going to lead you to destruction. So it's real simple. Don't even put a foot on it. Be proactive. Because one of the best ways to resist temptation is to avoid it, right? To eliminate it before it even comes about. This is how I justify flying when I go on vacation. I'm just going to avoid the road rage and just fly, right? But we can do some practical things that we can set up in advance or eliminate or remove so that we know that we can't be tempted by it. Maybe for you, again, this all starts with what your greatest temptation is. Like, I can't prescribe what to do because I don't know your greatest temptation, but you do. So if your greatest temptation is maybe overeating, then set some meal plans. Do some meal prepping. Use containers. Get an accountability partner. Do it together with somebody that you're going to both do that. But do some things proactively that are going to keep you from doing that, right? Avoid the dessert aisle when you go to the grocery store. Or do the click list or whatever. Because if I go to the grocery, I'm spending another $50 on nonsense that we didn't need. So we know that. So I'm not going to go to the grocery. It's being proactive, right? Maybe for you, it's something a little more serious. Maybe it's alcoholism, right? It's excessive drinking that you know that you have a drinking problem. And if that's the case, then guess what? Don't go sit at the bar when you go out to eat. Don't go to the bar. Seems real simple, right? If you know that when you have one drink, it's going to lead to 2, to 3, to 4, to 8, to I can't remember what happened last night, don't have one drink. It's that simple. You have to set up those boundaries, those parameters to keep the temptation from coming. If you're working through a drug addiction or addiction to anything, then don't be in the places where you used to use. Don't be around people that use. You have to rearrange your life to eliminate that temptation. And sometimes that's hard. Sometimes that means, you know what, I love you, but I'm going to have to take some time away from you. Because when I'm with you, I end up making really bad choices. And that's my choice. I do those things. But I know that when I'm with this person, it's not healthy. So I'm going to pray for them, but I'm going to take some time away. You got to be wise about that. Maybe for you, it has to do with social media. Maybe you are wasting your life and not engaging with the people around you because you're too busy on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat or whatever it may be for you. Or maybe for you, it's that you just can't help yourself when those ignorant and hateful people start firing things off on Facebook, and you really can't stop yourself from then becoming hateful also. So if that's the case, then guess what? Delete your account. Remove the app. Do those proactive things. If you really care, If you really want to find that way out that God has given you, then be proactive and press play on the things that you know that you need to do. If it's internet pornography, right? Set up some parameters in your house of when you can be on a computer and where your computer is located. I mean, in 2018, I mean, it's hard not to have a computer because most of us for our jobs or whatever are on a computer in some way, shape, or form, but put up some boundaries. Get some accountability software. It's all over the place. To where you go onto a site and it's going to send an email to six people saying, this is the site you just went to. That's going to make you think twice about some things, right? Especially if one of those people is your mom. Right? Awkward. Or maybe it's on your cell phone. Maybe that's where you're looking at images you shouldn't be looking at, and it's with you all the time. I know this is crazy, but if that's the case, then don't have a smartphone. They still make flip phones. They do. I've seen them. It's amazing. And they probably last a lot longer and are more durable than that smartphone that's in your pocket right now. But seriously, do the things that you need to do. You have a responsibility in this. And if you know there's some things that you can do to eliminate those temptations, do it. Do it immediately. Because temptation is real. And 100% you're going to be faced with it again. Probably before the end of the day. That's how intense it is. See, because the enemy knows that he can attack us with that, and a lot of times we give in. And it sidelines us. It keeps us off mission. It keeps us off our focus, off of what it needs to be on, which is reaching the lost, loving people, being Jesus to anyone and everyone that we come into contact with. But if we're falling on our face constantly because of temptation, we're useless. And that's a win for him. If he can't have your soul, he wants you sidelined. And this is one of the ways that he'll do that. So we have to first submit to God. And then we're going to resist him. And understand that Jesus has your back. I promise you, he has your back. He understands. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18 reminds us of this. It says, because he himself, speaking of Jesus, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. Understand that he is not some disengaged, disconnected God. That our God is faithful. And he loves you. And he wants to see you claim victory over this temptation that is haunting you, that is tripping you up constantly, that is sidelining you, that is destroying your family, destroying your relationships with other people, destroying your job, or destroying your relationship with God. He wants to see you have victory over that. So we have to submit and resist. Because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. So Christ in us dominates any of that toxic and flawed junk in our life. But we have to submit and resist. And instead of constantly feeling shame and guilt and being consumed by that, man, we should have hope. Not in ourselves, but in our good God, because God is faithful, right? As we read in 1 Corinthians, he is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. He's faithful. He has your back. So submit to him today, first and foremost. Wherever you're at, whatever that next step is for you, submit to him today. And through his power, with him in you, then you resist. You wage war, and I promise you're going to be victorious. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much Lord, for how good you are. For the fact that when we submit to you, God, when we give you our lives, that you are walking every step, every moment with us. And because of that, we can have ultimate victory. God, we're so thankful for that. And may we, as flawed people, lean into you. And allow you to help us to have victory over the temptations and the struggles that are in our life. To not mope around, feel bad and sorry for ourselves, but to claim victory through you. And receive it and live from that victory every single day. As we continue in a spirit of prayer, maybe you're here this morning and for you to submit to God, it's really taking that first step. It's stepping over that line of faith and giving your whole life to him. Confessing and believing. Confessing that you are flawed and that you're not perfect and that you're in need of a Savior. And believing that he is the one and only God. And that he sent his son to die for you. Rose again so that you could be made right before him. It's confessing and believing. And if that's you today, just from you can do it from your seat. Just call out to God however he leads. But just confess and believe and give him your life. It's not about saying a slick little prayer or anything like that. It's about your heart. It's about connecting with the Father and confessing and believing. Romans 10:9, one of my favorite verses in all scripture that has given me so much comfort and peace throughout my life, says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the dead, that you will be saved. And he loves you that much. So submit your whole life to him today. Become that new creation. Be made new in him. But maybe for you, submitting to him is just reconnecting with God once again. That you gave your life to him maybe years ago. But man, you've drifted. It's easy to do in this world. You've drifted away from him. You've gotten sidetracked on maybe things that aren't bad. Just your career or your family, your relationships. Aren't necessarily bad things. But you've put all that in front of God. And it's led you down a path that you are far from him. Maybe today you need to step back to him. Submit to him once again. Come back to him and say, God, I know that I've drifted, but I'm ready to come back to you. The beautiful thing is that he's been waiting. He's not mad. He's just waiting with open arms, saying, finally, let's get it, let's do it. Because he's that good. And then as you submit to him, then you can begin to resist those temptations that come. Submit and resist. This time we're going to go ahead and, before we open it up for a time of prayer, we're going to go ahead and transition into our communion service. So here at LifePoint Church, the first Sunday of every month, we partake of communion together as a church family. And we believe that there are two ordinances that we see specifically in Scripture that we are to observe. One of them is baptism, which we're actually going to be doing next week. So again, if you are interested in being baptized and you'd like to talk to somebody about that, or you know that you're ready to make that decision, man, touch base with me or with Jen or Ken after Roger after the service, and we'll talk you through that and get you set up for that for next week. But the other ordinance that we see in Scripture is communion. And both of these are prescribed to us to represent and remind us of certain things. And as we partake of communion, we're to be reminded of the sacrifice that was made for us to be made right with God. And honestly, how good our God is that he gave his son who gave of his body and his blood so that we could be made right. It's so incredible. It's such a beautiful thing. It's the ultimate sacrifice. And so today, as you partake of the elements, do that in remembrance of what he did for you and how good he is. And at LifePoint, there's really only two requirements that we ask for those who participate. One is just that you have a connected relationship with God, that you are a believer in Christ, that you've given your life to him at some point. And the second is that you just take some time and just search yourself, just search your heart, just think, just have some time with God. Ask him to reveal anything to you that he needs to reveal. And then just, if there's sin in your life, man, confess that. If it's something that you need to make right later today, do that. Or if it's just that you need to spend time just worshiping him, worship him. Maybe it's that you need to give your life to him. Step over that line of faith for the first time. And what a beautiful time to do that. But regardless of where you're at in your situation and what you need, I'm going to allow Jared is going to play a verse and a chorus of a song. And during this time, man, you just do business with God. And after that, I'll read some scripture, and then you'll be dismissed by Rose to come up and take a communion. And there'll be some of our leaders up here if you want to pray with them, or you want them to pray over you, or you just want to talk with them, they'll be here for you. So at this time, Jared and the team are going to lead us in a song, and then we'll move on with our service. But you do business with God at this time.